The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom, we made it all the way to Friday. Thank God you're still kicking it, buddy.
Hey, here we go, Crudy. We are here. We have made it. Thank you. Good to see you. Rich working the board. Thank you, sir. Of course, our fair audience. Happy, happy Friday to us all. Nothing better than a summertime Friday, especially here in the beautiful state of Wisconsin.
Well, I know you're already well into celebrating Summerfest. The fact that you're even at work on a Friday, the first Friday after Summerfest kicks off is something of a minor miracle, I would say.
I have to blame the new schedule, but I won't get into it now.
The Summerfest schedule?
Yeah. No. Okay, I'm going to, real quick. It used to be like 10, 11 days in a row, man.
I know, and you take off like 2 weeks.
Oh, I know, but it was you know, 2 weekends plus, you know, it was just, and now it's fine, but it's just not the same, man. Just can't. I like those days. And then, you know, when you go on like a Monday or a Tuesday, you know, folks that work on the weekend that you don't get to participate. I mean, it's just so much fun. But, you know, someone had to pay Smiley all that money. So what are you going to do?
Airing of the grievances. It's a Friday it tradition. So Dom's well into airing of the grievances. Dom, I did see a Make Music Madison work release slip. I'm shocked I didn't get one of these from you. Hello, I've come down with a need for sunshine and music and will not be coming in on Friday, June 21st. If you need me, I'll be wandering around Madison, taking in all the different venues, music, and soaking up as much sun as I can on the longest day of the year. Thank you. I will return to work on June 24th. This one says June 22nd, but, you know, I'm taking the rest of the weekend off. Sincerely.
Yeah, who we can.
The Devil's Advocates. No, we're here. We're doing it live, Dom.
You know,
even
rest
though
rest is resistance, Curdy. This is one of my new philosophies.
What is?
Rest is resistance.
Rest is resistance.
Yeah, man. You gotta take care of you. You gotta get out and live and breathe and feel it. And some days, just, you know, go to Summerfest, go to the Madison Music Days, whatever. Man, take your time when you got it, if you can.
You know, I've got a friend in Middleton, and her son and our son are close friends. And she went to the Trump rally the other day.
Oh, really? Okay.
And she and I had the opportunity to talk today, but I found out she had gone to the Trump rally. And, you know, she told me her guilty pleasure was the voice of Vivek Ramaswamy. And now that she's seen him in person, oh, she's hooked. Got a bad case of the Ramaswamis, I think. But, you know, it's funny because you know my politics. And I think she probably knows my politics. And I was the one asking. I said, you know, what a gorgeous day. Unlike today, it's a little buggy here for Make Music Madison Day. But it was glorious on the lakeside in Racine the other day. A big crowd showed up. But it was sort of her self time. You know what I mean? Like
her me time. Yes.
Like going to a Trump rally was like her just doing a little something for herself. And who was I to say, Vivek Ramaswamy, are you kidding me, sister? So I just smiled and I just kept it to myself. And I just said, you know, what a beautiful day we all enjoyed out there at the at the lakeside. And that was enough for me, Tom, because, you know, who am I to rain on someone else's parade? I usually leave that for you.
Thank you, Mike.
But I got to ask you, what happened, man? Milwaukee got punked by the RNC.
Oh, come on, don't even.
You guys backed down. You backed down.
We never backed down. No, no.
The GOP pressured the city of Milwaukee into what the ACLU basically says is an untenable hard perimeter. Dom, you know something about a hard perimeter. Tell the
you
people.
You know, General Sentinel, fenced-in perimeter demonstration areas for RNC announced what to know.
Now, we've often...
And Hernandez, Allison Durr, they do a fine job. You know, there's some maps. I sent Crudy the maps. We can talk about it. I'm not going to get into the streets and all that, but let me just say...
Why? What else you got better to do?
About it, the park that everyone talked about, Pier Marquette Park, where the demonstrations were supposed to take place during the DNC. Well, you know what happened there, and we're supposed to be there at the RNC, even though the demonstrators themselves not happy with it. The business folks themselves not happy with it.
Ron Johnson not happy about it.
Certainly not happy with it. Senators writing letters. I mean, everyone getting involved. And so they announced they saw the soft perimeter and the hard perimeter today in Milwaukee. And it looks like a gerrymander, man. It looks like definitely Republicans drew this map because it's an odd-looking perimeter along the Milwaukee River. But it just... It doesn't go all the way to the river in some parts where it's, you know, the soft part perimeter, but it reaches out just a little bit to grab Pier Marquette Park. And why would that happen? Well, apparently, as we talked about earlier, someone, Republicans, rented the Milwaukee County Historical Building, which is on the park, and so therefore that's now off limits for everyone without credentials.
Because
so
they've got a private party. A private Republican party at the park.
They bought their way in, man. They bought the parking spot, so you can't park there.
Why didn't we think of that? That's what you're really saying. Why didn't we think of that?
Man. So I can't. Now there's so the protest zones are basically on the north end of it and south end of it, and the protest parade route goes. I'm not going to tell you, but it's got along Clybourne and 794. I mean, I don't know who's over there, but it's certainly not within sight and sound of the forum, man. It's not good. It's not good.
Protesting to the interstate traffic, are they, Dom? So
like Grandpa Simpson yelling at the clouds. I mean, no one's going to hear you over there.
So the Secret Service and apparently the community of Milwaukee bending to the will of Republicans. And I get it's their party. But ultimately, don't the experts, other people get to set this.
I know you love being corrected on the air, but the reporting says that city spokesperson Jeff Fleming said the city was not involved in the decision to include Pier Marquette Park in the hard security zone, and the decision was made by security experts in law enforcement and the United States Secret Service.
So the Secret Service backed down to the request of effectively the Trump campaign, and by extension, Milwaukee backed down and got punked. So... Might not have been their decision, but they got it stuck to them.
Do with it, man. You can't get punked if you're not part of it. What are you going to do? That's what they say. So now the ACLU already.
What? Unless you have
negotiations broke down last time. But I mean, so this is coming up quick, man. What's going to go down? Tim Muth, staff attorney, said in a statement that he was surprised. The ACLU of Wisconsin was surprised and disappointed at the size of the hard security zone. He said the finalized security zone's expansion to include Pier Marquette Park cannot be justified and is an impermissible concession by the city of Milwaukee to the RNC. But, of course, Jeff Fleming, the city spokesperson, said they had nothing to do with it.
Now, Dom, here, the new protest zone, it's just 77 miles west here in Madison.
You're right.
It's right up there on the southwest side of the Capitol. No, actually, I can tell you where the real protest zone's going to be. It's going to be on Brady Street, because that's where we're going to be broadcasting from, Dom. There will be many, many mentions of the Roman coin.
You mean beyond the ones we do already?
Beyond the ones we do already.
Excellent.
We will be incorporating Terry Regano and the Roman coin very graciously. We're in final negotiations for just what this production's going to look like.
Oh, it's going to be glorious.
It will be. I'm going to incorporate the outside grotto, unless there's inclement weather. Unless it's like last year's RNC debate, where it was like 100 degrees, or at least it felt like it. Remember that? Should that be the case, will be entirely inside.
Yes.
But earlier in the week, thinking about doing like a outside production, setting up our own little protest zone over off of Brady Street, Dom.
Yes.
You know, just 76 miles closer to the event than the actual protest zone. Now, lawsuits, they're going to have to wind through the courts pretty quickly. And I mean, what a judge is going to redraw the gerrymandered maps, Dom? Or are they going to throw it to the governor and the legislature to solve this one?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I mean, okay, the federal courts, how do they wade in on this one? Realistically, reset the security zone?
Security zones can be set and reset. They didn't have to include this other spot, man. So, you know, and if the right to protest with sight and sound is not available, you know, there is a limit. What is it? I mean, I think it's there right now. I mean, hell, the ACLU and the protesters said Pew Marquette wasn't close enough, and this is now further away, and there's two of them with a march.
Divide and conquer.
We're going to see down by the highway.
Well, what about...
They redo it. No, you can't use this. No, you can't have that. But people, protesters, we need to be able to get in. People need to protest with sight and sound. That's the point.
We will amplify their protest over on Brady Street, Dom. We will tell people what we see. So the sights and the sounds. Just bring them to Brady Street. Bring them to the real protest. That's where we'll be, Dom. But today, I know you think you got this great town, but recently punked. I would assess. But today's about Madison. It's a great tradition here in the city, man. Going to be concerts, free concerts all over the city. You get an automatic permit. It's Make Music Madison Day. And the fact that you're at work is shocking to me.
You're welcome.
Summerfest last night, you had a good time?
Oh, man. It was glorious. I heard some new music that I hadn't heard before. Some kind of punk. Rocky, kind of hard Alanis Morissette. They were called, Winona Fighter. Female lead singer, jamming band, was really great. Lead singer of the Alabama Shake, she was on some random, great voice, great band. This, the random kind of music you walk by. The fireworks, the big gig was on. I got myself my hamburger that I get all the time from Goolsby's, and it was a glorious, glorious night in Milwaukee.
Glorious. A glorious Thursday. I hope it's a glorious Friday. I hope it's the greatest radio show ever.
It always is.
But in my assessment, you, Milwaukee, got punked.
Boo the stands.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all. Love it when you join the political party on the political line. Talk or text, hit us up 844-967-2789.
Been a bad week for Milwaukee. I mean, I've been there twice this week, so pretty good for the city.
Man, they feel the same way when Trump comes to town.
Earlier this week, it had a pretty good couple of days, you know, when I was there. But yeah, it's all been downhill since then, Dom. Trump called your city horrible. And, of course, you know, he claims he didn't. But 5-1 is a safe bet that Trump insulted Milwaukee ahead of the RNC. Dave Zuweefel over at the Cap Times. I'll read a little bit of this in a moment, Dom. But Milwaukee, like it or not, 3 weeks from what, yesterday? 3 weeks from yesterday, Dom. By 3 weeks from now, the RNC's over. But in the meantime, there's lots of chaos that could ensue. I know you're quite concerned. And the protests may be larger. More vitriol than 2016, although it'd be hard to top you, the Westboro Baptist Church, and Alex Jones. You guys made quite a cheering section down at the protest park.
I got something to say about that.
But anyways, Dominic, this protest, it's still undecided, I would say, because the federal court soon to intervene, perhaps, if the ACLU of Wisconsin gets its way. But I absolutely believe that Trump crapped on the city of Milwaukee earlier this week. And, you know, Wisconsin Republicans, let's just say they went along with it because that's what they always do. They're in the cult, Tom. Veteran Wisconsin newsman and business owner John Torinas can hardly be accused of being a liberal, but even he is bothered by the hoops Wisconsin Republicans are jumping through to explain Donald Trump's remarks about horrible Milwaukee. The optics haven't been good for the GOP as it prepares to invade, I like that word, invade Wisconsin's largest city in less than a month for the 2024 National Convention, where Trump will certainly be nominated to carry the carry water. CJ does most of the water carrying, him and Gary, to carry the party's banner for the third straight time.
Is it going to be upside down? Is it the what is the banner? Let's talk about the banner. We don't have to, but there's lots of options.
The is anyone concerned the swastika? The National Republicans selected Milwaukee for the 2024 convention, hoping that it would provide the impetus for a Trump win in the crucial battleground state of Wisconsin this fall. I totally disagree, Dave. Dave Zweifel, the author of this piece. You know why they picked Milwaukee? To stick it to the Dems. Because Joe never made it here. You know, they had their modified convention basically at Joe's house. And Trump had his modified convention last time at the White House. Joe still won, though. Last time I checked, although don't ask the Trumpsters. But anyways, back to the Dave Zweifel piece. But if the nominee believes the place known as the Cream City for its old pale yellow brick buildings, plus as the beer capital of the world is nothing more than horrible, all bets could be off. Torinas, the former Milwaukee Journal Sentinel business columnist and publisher of the former West Bend Daily News, was a little more than irritated over the tap dance performed by Wisconsin Republicans who were in the room when Trump made the supposed characterization. In a recent blog on the GM Today, the digital home of the Waukesha Freeman, Washington County Daily News, and area weeklies, Torinas pointed out that the first district GOP congressman, Brian Steil, he was in Racine on Tuesday greeting the president, Tom. He was also in the room that day on Capitol Hill last week. Now, Brian Steil claimed to be in the room with Trump and insisted the former president never said such a thing. That, however, does not square with the statements from five other Wisconsin Republicans who tried to modify Trump's alleged comment about Milwaukee, the blogger wrote. They tried to mitigate the damage by saying Trump was talking about Milwaukee's crime rate and election integrity, he added. He then included comments made by Republican Senator Ron Johnson, Rojo, and Republican reps Glenn Grothman, Scott Fitzgerald, Tom Tiffany, and Derek Van Orden, all of whom had different theories about what Trump meant. Their comments, Torinas pointed out, were an acknowledgement that Trump had said something about Milwaukee, contrary to what Steil and Trump himself had claimed. Remember back in 2018 when Trump labeled some African-American countries, Haiti and El Salvador, as asshole nations, asked Torinas. Remember when he referred earlier this year to immigrants as vermin and to his political opponents as scum? Mostly you, Dom. It is beyond debate that Trump is the master of insults. There is no filter between his brain and his mouth. It is in the interest of the Biden campaign to have Trump talking endlessly. It is inevitable that he will come out with more verbal beauties. It is also inevitable that Republican operatives will try to say he didn't mean what he said, Torinas continued. He then added a final thought. If I had to choose between a reporter as a legitimate news source or Donald Trump on truth-telling, I opt for the reporter. And then Zweifel says, and I'll add, a whole roomful of Wisconsin elected Republicans. Who would trust them, Dom?
Well, that's the point. And Torinas, thank you for standing up, stating the obvious. That's very discerning and troubling. But what does it say about those Republicans who are so quick and so eager to support their cult leader? To bend it, to twist it, to say, one to even say he never said it, and the other to qualify it, and then what, Trump denies it, says he admits it or acknowledges it, but then denies it. I mean, it says something about every single one of those folks. And you could, it's okay to judge them for it. In fact, they should be judged for it. You should be judging us for what we say, how we do. Are we consistent? Are we honest? You know, everyone should be judged on those things. That's how we evaluate humanity. You know what I mean? If you're not going to hang out with them in the bar, the Roman coin, you know, during the convention, maybe you don't want them as your elected official.
Brand style. Not exactly a truth teller.
No, it never happened. Well, I mean, it was, you know, crime and election and election integrity, which is all just bunk anyway. So they try to qualify the lie with disinformation. I mean, does it get any lower than that?
He's the one. You know, the 5-1 odds. 5 Wisconsin Republican Congress people said Trump meant something different, but he said it. And the one is style. He's like the dentist that discourages the use of gum. When they're always 4 out of 5 dentists surveyed recommend.
He's the one guy.
And Brian Style say, I never heard of gum. Trump never said gum. There is no gum. More Devil's Advocates. There's more of us on the other side. If you stick around, you could be a part. It's Friday. Air the grievances. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Down, we air the grievances up around here. Been saving them up all week. I got a lot of problems with you people, especially yeah, you fella.
You can't crush them all down, man. You gotta let it out, let it breathe.
Our trash texting attorney buddy Jeff from Shorewood says, "Hey boys, be even greater today. Having a let's just say a crappy day." It's almost over, but you are always the last chapter of my day. Well, I got to say, that's a little sad, Jeff.
You're welcome, Jeff.
What do you day drink and then go to bed at 6 o'clock?
Come on. Still a whole night left, man. The sun doesn't even go down till 9.
We'll do our best to be even greater than our normal best, greatest efforts.
Ever.
We'll try. Here's another one. Andrew from Verona says, you go, Dom. Resist the man, the boss man, Crudy, the taskmaster. Crudy, the taskmaster.
Yeah.
When's the last time I made you do anything?
I do it for you. He's not after me. He's after you. I'm in the way.
When's the last time I made you do anything?
Never.
Ever.
Everything I do willingly. Absolutely.
I have to convince you that it was your good idea or you won't do anything.
You know, it's just a defense mechanism. Answer is always, no, man, no, no. And then we think about it and I'll make a plan, look at schedules. And then usually it becomes a yes, but I do default to no a lot.
I don't know how I've got you on the calendar for next Thursday night. June 27th, you should all have it circled on the calendar. Barrymore Theater. We could have made announcements weeks and months ago, but no. Maybe. Get back to you're going to have to pay me double time.
It's double, triple time, man. Triple doubles, yeah.
Triple. You're like the Kobe Bryant of political broadcast.
I just need 3 doubles.
And a contract extension. So anyways, the big party going to happen next Thursday, Dom. And that could be the most important debate, presidential debate of your lifetimes, people. You need to be there. The cost, great, free, nothing. Cost you nothing. Cost you bub kiss. It's the greatest price ever. I love this price.
I mean, if this keeps going on pretty soon, we're going to be paying you to show up.
The only thing you got to do is bring cash for the bar. They're a cash-only bar. And if you want to throw a couple bucks in, we'll accept it. Our partners, the Barrymore Theater and the Progressive Magazine, helping the Devil's Advocates put on the best political party of all time. That's next week, Tom. And I've got a few thoughts for the rest of this big show. We're going to, consider taxing the rich. I know this is a crazy notion.
What? When you say tax, like, what do you mean?
I'll get back to you on that.
All right.
I know you're newly concerned with your, you know, triple double pay grade. We'll talk about that. And we got one of the finest guests that we often have come around, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, joining us in the 5 o'clock happy hour. But Dom, I gotta tell you one more story. I've been working hard. You know, we're getting ready to list the house with our pal Darcy. And this has been a long time in the making. You know, we got the last kid out the door. He's done. We're done. My wife is so done being a parent, you know, from the perspective of having the kids in the nest, let's just say. Right. So they'll be heading off to college, both of them, the two boys left at home. So we're pretty excited about that, except when the tuition bills come. But, you know, we don't need the house in Milton. We don't need the four bedrooms, three conforming, one non-conforming. But, you know, we don't need this house anymore. And it's time to let another family use this house. And I've never worked so damn hard to turn around and give it to somebody else's family. Doesn't anybody else's family own a paintbrush? Hasn't anybody else's family ever said, we should repaint that room after we buy the house? Yes. Do people ever consider doing that? So,
yes.
When you guys sold, because you guys have downsized empty nesters as well. You've moved into the condo now with a good view. Now, how much of the painting and the manual laboring did you do?
Well, Stephanie did it all. I bless her heart.
Does that mean she hired people, or she was out there on a ladder?
Yeah, we were going through, because we were kind of debating. You know, we were one of those folks where, again, same thing's out. Kids were out. We had a super low rate, and it was really cheap to live where we were living. But we also recognized the same kind of thing. It's, you know, great house, great neighborhood, but it's just, you know, we're kind of over it. But we're going to stay. If we're going to stay, let's get some new countertops, new backsplash, and so forth. Some new flooring. Well, we were in the midst of that project when the other house and the condo came on the market. We made a move to do that, and it just whirlwinded. So we didn't do the floor, but the counters and the backsplash were already done. So we just left the floor. And I think maybe Steph painted one room, but no. And then my former neighbors have since informed me that the new family came in, painted everything anyway. So that's kind of what I assume will happen. Because what are you gonna do, man? People are gonna want to put their own mark on the house. So you gotta leave it like acceptable to look at, certainly. But I mean, you know, painting the ceiling, man. But I guess if you got 20 years of, you know, rough housing with the boys on the ceiling, man, you gotta handle that stuff.
I painted the ceiling. I painted the walls on two floors. I painted the trim or replaced the trim. We've got new baseboard trim. Shiny white.
Just the time to move out.
You know how I know it's shiny and white? Because I painted it. And then after you install the trim, then you got to go back and putty the trim, and then you got to go touch up the trim. Also did that. And I'm getting, you know, I'm like getting to the very, very end. So upstairs, done. I've even popped all the doors off, repainted the doors, you know,
man,
meticulously. So everything is, all the flooring is new. I didn't do that work. But I had to hurry up and get out of the way of the actual skilled labor, you know. Right. So painting is a skill, and I fake it. So I've been faking it for weeks now, Dom. You see me, man. I look like I fell in a paint bucket each and every day when I get here to do the radio show with you. But I'm too cheap to hire out the work. So I've been doing it every day, night, and weekend that I can possibly spare. And, you know, I'm getting to the end. And I've touched up all the trim and, you know, it's looking really good, and I'm very excited. And even my wife starting to grudgingly, although she's like, why did we do this 10 years ago? I'm like, because we weren't selling it then. You know, we weren't preparing for this very competitive marketplace. So anyways, she hired in another skilled professional to put new cabinet fronts on, not in the kitchen. We've got relatively new cabinets. We redid the kitchen 5 years ago. Not just kitchens. Our fine sponsor at that time, Jeff Augustine, he redid our kitchen and our master. And so anyways, I'm thinking I'm like down to the last 2 hours of touch-up painting. I'm thinking this place is really starting to shine. And then the contractor got out with the new cabinet for the customs in the bedrooms. And they start opening the boxes and nothing's painted. 18 cabinet doors, and nothing has been painted. I don't have enough paint horses for 18 cabinet doors, Tom. This isn't, you know, a couple hours. This is multi-days. This is like getting kicked hard in the nards, man. Psychologically, I'm just telling you, it has been a real setback for me. The fact that I'm here doing a radio show with you on this Friday, Dom, and not home painting is a testament to the fact that I love you and the audience and you, Rich.
Come on. I don't believe it for a minute. You're just ranting. You're just getting it off your chest. This is your grievance. If we're not for here for this moment for us to hear and listen and feel it with you, Crudy, you'd have to deal with this on your own.
If you come to the Crudy open house next weekend, do not touch the cabinet fronts. They might be tacky. Don't touch them. They'll be fresh and white. Don't touch them. So everything will be impeccable.
Okay, so you're gonna do them, right? You're gonna do them.
What's plan B, man? A little late to hire out the work now. I've left myself no fallback time. There is no chaos as plan B, Dom. So, you know, sometimes you've gotta rely upon the man in the mirror.
You don't actually put the cabinet back on. You leave them open so you can see the plates and whatnot in there. You know, it's a very nice look.
You weren't listening. These are like closet doors. They're closet, you know, like built-in cabinet closet doors.
Oh, gotcha. All right.
And they're all brown and everything else is stark white, you know, just popping white, except the cabinet fronts. They're all brown. So once they're matched and fitted, then they've all got to be taken off. All the hardware has got to be taken off because my wife won't even let me tape it up. I got to take it all off. And then I got to prime two coats, oil-based prime, let it cure 2 days, and then I can paint. And I didn't even know I was painting these. My wife's like, well, I told you a couple months ago when we ordered them, I gave you the price painted or unpainted. You said you'd paint them. Well, I didn't know there were 18 of them then. And I didn't know this project would be left to the last week. So
I didn't know.
I have been a little more unbearable than usual around the home front. I gotta tell you, I really feel for my family because I'm an angry worker. I'm not like a happy-go-lucky whistle while you work kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like I played football angry, like that. You know, that raw emotion. That's how I paint. Like,
what do you do when you're what is the activity when you're not like that?
When I'm on the Jordan Love boat up at the lake, and on the radio with you, I'm not angry. I'm smiling.
Sometimes
I'm faking it for the sake of the audience. I'm really grumbly on the inside.
Well, see, you're the true professional, Crudy.
I share that quality with Trump a bit, a skosh, in that I have very little filter. I've always said the truth will out. You'll know if I'm in a bad mood eventually because I'm going to call somebody out. If I can't pick on the actual person who's offended, then I'm going to find...
Everybody else around me will suffer. Yeah, we know. 844.
Shut up, Shorty.
844-967-2789. Dick from Madison. Happy Friday, my friend. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, first of all, I feel your pain because I just finished a bathroom. I finished it Tuesday. I would have finished that on Father's Day, but my Father's Day present arrived in a limb about 40 feet and about 2 feet in diameter at the bottom that fell across the fence. So I had to deal with that. But anyway,
Happy Father's Day, Doug.
It was fun. Out there with a chainsaw and cutting up, and it was about 90 in the shade. My grievance is the national press, even covering the cowering capon that is Lindsey Graham, talking tough about Russia again, and then jumping right in bed with you-know-who, the biggest guy about Russia on earth, Trump. I mean, did you see him? It was pathetic. He was going on and on and on. And all this tough stuff.
Lindsey just doesn't. Dick, Lindsey just doesn't like to sleep alone. Some people are like that. He's got to jump in bed with somebody.
Well, I mean, it just. You know darn well he got it slapped around the minute he got off the air. Trump probably called Lindsey. You can't say anything like that about Russia. Are you crazy?
You know, Dick, I've been busy painting. I got to admit, I miss the Lindsey going after Russia and getting slapped by the Cheeto Messiah. Did I miss that? Did he actually get slapped? Like,
no, he said
there was no Will Smith incident. I missed this week, was there?
No, but that's, you know, perhaps rhetorically what happened after Lindsey Graham went after, you know, Russia, and Trump doesn't probably like that too much because, you know, well, I don't see why he would.
You know, I was also on a ladder today, and I had sort of promised myself I wouldn't do that anymore, and the front drain spouts. Terribly clogged. I mean, it's spring. They shouldn't be. Well, now it's summer. But it smelled swampy.
Gutterfish, man. You got to clean that out.
I did. With my bare hands.
To the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all. Join us on the political party line, 844-967-2789.
Donald Trump was in Kenosha on Tuesday, and he said a pants-on-fire lie, actually, several of them.
Yeah, well, he was in Racine.
Not Kenosha. Oh, my bad. At a Racine rally, Trump repeated his false claim, he saved Kenosha in 2020. So I'm sorry, the topic of the lie was Kenosha. And you recall, every time Kenosha gets brought up, what do people bring up? Kyle Rittenhouse,
right? Kyle Rittenhouse, yep.
And Trump's statement, he saved Kenosha. And, you know, he sent the troops that Tony Evers didn't even want. And that's not true. Tony called in the National Guard right away before Trump even offered. But Kyle Rittenhouse is getting run down, and I found this one at the Raw Story Dom, by his own sister, the sister of killer Kyle Rittenhouse, who was found not guilty of intentional homicide after crossing state lines and shooting three protesters, two to death, has taken to GoFundMe to plead for financial help as she and her mother face eviction from their apartment. Kyle couldn't help mom and sis out. Now, according to Faith Rittenhouse, her brother, who has been touring the country giving speeches with the support of Turning Point USA, that's Charlie Kirk's operation, right, Dom? Has refused to help out his siblings and mother. On the GoFundMe, she wrote, just under 4 years ago, our lives were shattered when my brother was involved in a tragic shooting incident. The aftermath of this event uprooted our family stability and left us grappling with grief, trauma, and the harsh reality of starting over. She added, we had difficulty obtaining and maintaining employment due to the fact that many people still believe my mother drove Kyle or was somehow involved in his decision to go to Kenosha. No, but after the fact, she did take him to the bar. We've struggled emotionally, mentally, and financially to piece our lives back together, noting that she's only asking for $3,000 with $2,145 donated as of Friday morning, she wrote, with my brother's unwillingness to provide support or contribute to our family, we've been left to navigate this journey on our own, while pointing out that medical issues have waylaid her from being able to keep a job. We've exhausted every resource available to us, but we're still coming up short. The reality is that we have nowhere else to turn and time is running out. Your donation, Dom, no matter how small, we'll go directly towards preventing our eviction and ensuring that my family has a roof over our heads, whether it's covering rent, utilities, or even helping us find temporary housing. Your support will make an immeasurable difference in our lives. Now, in a recent post, Kyle Rittenhouse posted that he recently accepted a job as the outreach director with the Texas Gun Rights to advocate for the availability of weapons.
Oh, because it's so hard to get a gun these days.
Only if you're Hunter Biden. In an interview in November with Kyle Rittenhouse's lawyer, Mark Richards, the attorney said his client is working. He's trying to support himself. Everyone thinks that Kyle's got so much money from this, whatever money he did get is gone.
Gone? Like spent or what?
Taken by Lynn Wood?
Exactly. Taken by counsel. He added, Crudy, he's living, I don't want to say paycheck to paycheck, but he's living to support himself. Obviously, his lawyer and somebody who I want to do well. I hope he does re-engage in his studies. But right now, he's working full-time. He's living a law-abiding life, and he is doing something that he enjoys. Oh, is he going to protest and shooting people? No, I guess he's working for the outreach director, as an outreach director for the Texas gun rights. Advocate for the availability of weapons.
Well, he's a lawful U.S. citizen, gainfully employed, if not directly by the NRA, by certainly a NRA supportive organization. 844-967-2789. Sorry, while I certainly can appreciate the desperation of a family facing eviction, I have zero sympathy for Kyle Rittenhouse's mama. None. She raised that guy. And she may not have driven him directly to Kenosha for the shooting incident where he killed a couple people. But after his, what, preliminary hearing, didn't she take him to the bar to go take photos with the three presenters?
Yeah, and then Kyle
It was celebratory. Yeah. There was a new celebrity to it. The family was sort of, well, they were intoxicated by this new celebrity, Dom, all created because he killed a couple people to protect a car dealership in Kenosha that didn't even ask him to come there. What a fine story. You should get speeches.
Yeah, that sucks. But, you know, there's a price to be paid. You know, she didn't pull the trigger, but she was, according to, numerous news accounts. He was drinking at the bar with his mother 90 minutes after January 5th court hearing, when he took pictures with what? The Proud Boys, wearing a t-shirt that said free as F.
Dom, there was a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that came down today upholding gun ban for domestic violence restraining orders. And there was one dissent. Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
Nothing. No reason. I mean, if I want to shoot Jenny with my gun, I should have every right to do so, even if I got a record of being violent. I mean, that's a strange precedent to want to set.
Maybe Jenny made him vote that way. What makes you think that he's the one doing that in that household? I have a feeling that she has some input as well.
Well, I'd hate to be Justice Alito when he gets home tonight. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. It's a happy hour.
Where's he been, next. Man? Where's Justice Alito been?
At home, talking to Mother.